You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, would you make your Son, Jesus Christ, present to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In our gospel text today, we see Jesus, who has compassion on the crowds because they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he responds. This is the beginning of a portion of text in Matthew where Jesus teaches on sending his followers. Matthew first presents the Sermon on the Mount, and then he tells many stories of Jesus healing people throughout Galilee. And in the beginning of our gospel reading today, chapter 9, verse 35, sums this up. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And then Matthew makes a point to connect Jesus' ministry in the kingdom of God to his sending out his disciples to share in that ministry. We're going to consider that this morning, Jesus sending out his disciples to share in his work of gathering the crowds who are harassed and helpless. Why does God choose to operate this way, to share his mission with his followers? Perhaps it could be the same answer as when I said, Mom, why do you get to have a Coke IC all by yourself and I have to share a red one with all of my siblings? And she said, because I'm the mom. I don't think that's how God answers, although God can do whatever he wants. But he has revealed himself and he has showed us many things about who he is. And I think that one thing we can know about God and why he chooses to operate this way in the world is because God is generous, and his is a sacrificial life that begets sacrificial life. God gathers and sends. And I credit my friend Lisa to help me with that language in this text, with this concept of Jesus sharing his ministry with his followers. God gathers and sends. This is the pattern of God's call, even with his people Israel. The pattern of Jesus Christ's incarnation, sacrifice, and resurrection. And this is what his new creation looks like. As God's children in the new covenant on this side of the resurrection, we live in what we theologically call the already and the not yet. The already is God's kingdom is here. This is what Jesus himself proclaims throughout his ministry on earth. It's what his incarnation accomplished. It's what his miracles signify, that God has come to earth, and his kingdom is one where resurrection happens. It's one where disease is dissolved, where death is defeated. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, the Bible says he is the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of the new creation. The arrival of the kingdom of God has already happened. God's kingdom has already come to earth. And yet, you and I know very intimately that we still live under the curse of sin. There are so many parts of our lives and our world that await redemption. We can only see brokenness so often and not resurrection. We are still waiting on the promise of the new heavens and the new earth to arrive. Yes, the kingdom of God has already come. And yes, it is not yet fully realized. Do you see this Venn diagram of history? This is the era of the world where sin rules as a result of the fall. And this is the kingdom of God where sin is defeated and God dwells with his people. And we live right here in the middle where both are true. As we live now, we are members of God's new creation. This is where the Christian life happens, right here in the middle, right here where God's kingdom has come and where we await its final arrival. We are children of the resurrection, and we still live under the curse of sin. And this passage speaks to our lives in this moment. Jesus has a word for us in this moment. So look again at the beginning of our text in chapter 9. Jesus was going out through all the towns in Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing all kinds of diseases. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." He was going and teaching and preaching and encountering people everywhere, restoring people to a full, flourishing life. And he was deeply moved with compassion because they were distressed and dejected, as another translation reads. They were under pressure. They were sad. They needed direction. They needed help. They were not cared for. They needed protection. They needed nurture. They needed life. I think you know the feeling or the reality that Jesus is noticing here. To be harassed and helpless, to be distressed and dejected, to need care. Jesus sees you. He sees you today in your need and in your longing. Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. And one commentator notes this is both sympathy and response. He doesn't just see, clock it, take note, and move on. But he sees, he's moved with compassion, and he responds. What is his response to the needs of the people? It's verse 36. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." Ask the Lord of the harvest. Now Jesus is mixing metaphors, which he often does, but he's moving from livestock to crops. He relates the needy people to fruit that is ripe for harvest, grapes that are on the vine needing to be gathered in, grain that will rot if left in its stalk and not taken in. He wants the people to be gathered in, that none may be lost. He wants you to be gathered to himself. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Part of how Jesus does his gathering work and where we live right now in this time is by sharing that gathering work with his followers. God is the Lord of the harvest, the creator and the king of the nations. God is the primary agent here. His hand is at work in this moment, and he works by sending his people into the crowds with him to point to the Savior who was raised up on a cross that he might draw all people to himself. This is how God has always worked. In the beginning, he shared his creative work with Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them the task of naming the animals and tending the garden. When he made a covenant with Israel, he gave them the law so that they would live in a way that showed the nations around them what God is like. And what life is like under the rule of a good, eternal, loving, and sovereign king. And now Jesus is here declaring the kingdom of God has come. And when he sees the masses of people in the world who need hope, who need help, he tells his followers to ask God to send people to help them find help, to help them find himself. This is a pattern of how God works to spread his fame throughout the world, by entrusting his message to his people. And we can say, God, why? Because we sure aren't reliable most of the time. But in his providence and wisdom, that is how God has chosen to work. Because God is a generous God. God is a self-giving God, and his is a self-giving love. He came to us first. Christ Jesus gave himself in his incarnation and death on the cross in order to gather us in perfect peace and righteousness and fellowship with God. And after gathering us, giving us his life, replacing our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh, he sends us out in his gathering work. This is a big, generative, and purposeful endeavor. Your own salvation, my own salvation, our own belonging in God's family is never only for us. It's never only for you or for me. God's covenant with Israel was not only for their benefit, but also as a witness to the nations around them. Your eternal life in Christ and mine, the peace we have in the midst of distress, the hope we have in the face of death, the faith and self-control we experience only as a gift of the Holy Spirit, is a witness to the people around us that Christ in you is the hope of glory, Colossians says. Christ gathers us and sends us because he's not finished gathering his harvest. At first, Jesus sent out his 12 disciples. We read about this in the text. This is what the term apostle means. It's sent ones. He sends these 12 guys to proclaim his message. The kingdom of God has come. And to these 12, he gave them authority to do the works of the kingdom that he had been doing. They didn't go in their own authority, their own identity, but as ambassadors of the one who sent them. In verses 5 through 15, we see Jesus give them specific instructions for this first mission, where to go, how to interact with the people you meet in various towns throughout this region. They went, proclaiming Christ, who had transformed them. And then in verses 16 and following, Jesus turns more generally to all of his followers who have been gathered, and he's sending. This is us right here. And he says, hey, it's not always easy. You're going, and people are hurting, needy, scared, trapped in sin. And often that makes relationships really difficult. The cross is a scandal, 1 Corinthians says. It's often offensive to tell or to hear, trust in the righteousness of Christ for your own righteousness. Accept the free gift of his grace for your life, no strings attached. It's good news, but it's a scandal because we are so often a people that work really hard to take care of ourselves, to prove our own worth, even to hide our need. Throughout history, the gospel has been resisted across the world, even while the kingdom of God is still coming. God is actively gathering people to himself from all nations, despite the scandal of the cross. Jesus knows this because it happened to him. He sends his followers out in his name in the same pattern in which he came to us. He knew the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he wanted us to be a part of it. He wants your neighbors to be a part of it. He wants the people across town and across the world in the places where they have yet to hear the name of Jesus to be a part of that triune fellowship. So he sends his people out into his authority, into his harvest, in the same way that he came to us. I can't hear a passage like this and not think about our brother Raphael, who is a pastor in Malawi. He spends most of his week traveling from town to town, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think of sitting with a group of believers who had heard and received this message of the gospel through Raphael. We're sitting outside under a shade tree, and we say, how can we pray for you? And they said, pray that we would be able to buy some bicycles, because there are people in villages nearby that have yet to hear about Jesus, and we want to tell them. We can only travel on foot right now, so pray that we could have bicycles so we could get further, because there are more people who need to hear. These brothers and sisters had been gathered by Jesus, and they knew they were sent to point more people to the Savior. And I hear this passage, and I think of you who witness to the Savior throughout your daily life as you're sent to your offices, your schools, your communities, your appointments. The people around you every day are harassed and helpless, distressed and dejected. And the Savior longs to gather them too. And you're his witnesses. This is part of being gathered by God, being children of his kingdom. You are purposefully included in his gathering work to the praise of his glory. Our psalm for the day, Psalm 100, says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are his sheep who point to our good shepherd so that others may be gathered to him. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As we are gathered, we are sent in the name of Christ. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Led on their way by this triumphant sign, the hosts of God in conquering ranks combine. Each newborn servant of the crucified bears on the brow the seal of him who died. O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw the world to thee. So shall our song of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.